This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Election supervisor about lost ballots.
Email Mark Mewich at votekpft@gmail.com or call 713-526-4000. Watch for your blue envelope soon. KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
I'm Deborah Bell.
And Jennifer Renee.
And J.D. Doyle.
And we got somebody with their headphones on a little bit too high.
Thank you.
So turn those things down. Welcome to Queer Voices this evening. And on tonight's show, Deborah,
we have Angela Snell, who's the promoter of GayAllender.com, who's co-sponsor of the Galveston Gay Pride Fest, which is coming up this weekend. It's the first annual event celebrating queer pride in Galveston. And, of course, we're going to be asking our listeners to support this station by giving us money. Met a lot of them out at the Women's Festival this weekend. A lot of people came up to the... Bless you, J.D.
Sorry, I couldn't do that off my...
Somebody told me, "You're hilarious on that show." I said, "Well,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I missed that show.
Yeah.
And then
later on, radio.
JD has his queer music heritage, and you have queers who are.
It's queer blues. Queer studying blues. Blues music from 1925 to 1970, and it's very queer.
I know quite a few of the early women
were there.
Yes, I was there. I remember it well.
Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith. You used to hang out with them.
Yeah. It was before me and Janis Joplin.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember Janis. Janis is on the show, too.
Yeah. So stay with us and enjoy the show. Find out what's going to be happening in Galveston next week. And actually, there are so many things that are coming up in this community and just in general. It's that time of the year when we have, you know, so many. And it is actually autumn. I mean, today really felt like...
Almost winter.
It was like, what is this?
And run to Christmas with all the events not coming up.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, but Saturday was beautiful. The performers were fantastic. Kelly Gray with her jazz was great. And Ruthie Foster blew them away. And, you know, J.D., she's getting some major national airplay. So, our very own Ruthie Foster.
I went to the Bears on the Run tour show Sunday night. It was very good. I was impressed with them.
And explain again what Bears
okay, it's Bears, B-E-A-R, Bear Artists, not B-A-R-E. A different concert.
You could have Bear Bears, though.
Well,
Bear Bears.
And some events they do that, I understand. That scares me, kind of. But this was five artists and a comedian at Tony's Corner Pocket last evening for 3 hours of very good music. And they're continuing on their tour around the East Coast.
Well, all those folks that were out at the music festival or those that didn't get to make it, do please support Queer Voices and all the programming on KPFT. You can call 713-526-5738. We have a number of lovely operators sitting by.
Well, and let's go out to the lobby and see what our goal
is this evening.
And where we are in the pledge drive, because it just started today.
You've got that. This is Keith. I'm out in Pledge Central right now. And I'll tell you what we're looking to do here. We're looking to raise a little bit of money, of course. Our goal, $400 for the show. That's what we're looking to do. And how we're planning on doing that, of course, is with the generous support of our listeners, our listener sponsors. And that means exactly that. Our listeners that keep us on the air, that keep us doing what we're doing. And if you like the programming you hear here, if you can't hear it anywhere else, and I honestly can't tell you where else you can possibly tune on your radio dial to hear something like this, then you should give us a call. Let us know that. Let us know that with some support. Let's do that number. It's 713-526-KPFT. And don't forget our website, kpft.org. If you're new to the show, or if you're new to KPFT as a listener, find out a lot more about us on our website, what we're doing, what we're all about, what we do with these pennies, these dimes, these dollars, to stretch them out, and be able to provide the type of program that we can. Find out about it on our website, find out about our pledge drive. More importantly, of course, there's a secure way. And this is all tax deductible. And so I'm going to toss it back to you guys here, but we've really got to drive home the importance of having this type of programming out there.
Thank you, Keith. And just a quick announcement, Broadway Across the America is having the production of Avenue Q, the Tony Award-winning musical. And tomorrow night, October 30th, there's a special GLBT night with a discount for tickets. And you go to put in the password Avenue Q on the Hobby Center for the Performing Arts website. It's this one night only, October 30th. It starts at 8 p.m. and there's a special reception directly following the performance. And then on Sunday, October 28th at 7 p.m., Ernie Vanous is co-hosting a karaoke night for Avenue Q, and that'll be over at Meteor.
So Deb will be there to sing, so don't
yeah,
miss it.
Uh-huh.
Don't miss it.
I'd be more like, I could be one of the puppets.
Yes. That
somebody else could do the singing for.
And quickly, for those of you who don't know, we're having an election, and early voting. Yes, and early voting started today.
I mean, like the city of Houston, you mean?
City of Houston,
oh, okay.
As well as some bond issues and some amendments that are there. So those of you who didn't know about it, you do now. If you're wondering about the election, the Houston GLBT Political Caucus PAC has endorsed candidates and bond issues. You can go to the website, www.thecaucus.org, and you can see the entire endorsement card there.
And the early voting locations are at different places around town, so you can check harrisvotes.org.
That's it, Harris.
And find out where the nearest place. So it's real convenient to dig into.
Is the multi-service center again?
Yes, as always.
That's where I'll vote tomorrow.
Multi-purpose center on West Gray. I'm sure our friend Frank Parsley will be over there running things. So once again, we're going to give you the number, and then we're going to tell you about what's going on with Houston Gay Pride. So please call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526.
KPFT.
All right.
Now, isn't that Galveston Pride?
Well, did I say Houston?
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you did.
This, well, you know, we're so close. It's a Galveston-Houston connection, for sure. But we are broadcast in Galveston at 89.5 FM. So some people can pick us up there at 90.1, but because we wanted to expand our listening audience, so those folks in Galveston can call in and pledge as well.
100,000 watts.
Yeah, and that number is on the radio dial is 89.5 FM for KPFT. And we have the lovely Angela Snell with us. And tell us about Houston.
Galveston Pride.
Tell us, not Houston,
not
but
Houston, it's Galveston Pride.
The island. Pride on the island.
Pride on the island. We are having a festival on October the 27th, which is on Saturday, at Sangerfest Park on the Strand at 23rd. And it's going to be a wonderful event. We have live entertainment that's going to be there from noon to 9 p.m. We're having Special K, which is 104 KRBE, and one of our locals, Marsha Mello, that will be emceeing. We have some of our entertainers will include Josh Duffy, that was just featured in Outsmart magazine.
He's been in the studio for an interview just a few weeks ago.
And Eric Hyman is also coming in. He was on the front cover of Shout. And
Eric's another great performer. He's been in Houston several times.
He writes his own music.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he's wonderful. And then we have Pepper Maché. She
I love the name.
She is our international diva, and she had the theme song for Queer as Folk.
Yes, she did.
She's also been on the number one Billboard with another single that was Lost Your Mind. So she's going to really rock.
That should be our theme song.
Yes.
Your theme song.
Thank you, JP.
And
that's
so,
great entertainment. How did you round those folks up?
You know, by the grace of God, it was very lucky that we did what we did. We just kind of set out to put a little bit of a festival together, and Shout Magazine, along with one of their DJs, Chris Allen, that writes for them, gave us some wonderful entertainers to line up. So I want to say something special about Chris. He's been great for us. We are not having any fee for the festival. All of the events will be for free. Even the clubs that are having nightly events, and I'll go into those as well, all of their cover charges are free too. So,
what time of the day is the entertainment? I mean, like Josh and Eric?
Josh comes on around 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Eric will come on shortly after him around 6, and then Pepper Maché is at 7:45.
Now, what brought got you in the idea to have a Pride Festival there in Galveston?
Well, Laura Villagran, the owner of the Gay Yellow Pages, has started a new website there and also a gay visitor center. The first ever GLBT visitor center is there at 302 Rosenberg.
Okay.
So we thought it'd be a great opportunity to introduce the city of Houston and all of the state of Texas. We've been marketing the whole event throughout the state to Galveston. Galveston's a wonderful place to be. It's a great place to be during the month of October. So we wanted to do something special for the city to show the support that they've given us to give something back.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And there's an increasing GLBT population, I think, in Galveston.
Absolutely, there is.
Yeah. And is there going to be a parade?
There is not going to be a parade this year. We've opted not to do a parade. We've opted just to do a festival, just something that everybody can come down and shop on the Strand and just enjoy themselves. So we're not doing a parade.
So you're having entertainment, and food?
We are having food. What we have done is we're not going to have local vendors that are going to do the food or alcohol. We have came into the Strand, and we've went into the local restaurants that are going to be there. And everywhere that you see a Pride flag, those are the ones that have brought this whole festival together. They've been our sponsors and co-sponsors to help, bring the event together.
They probably should keep those flags there all year.
That'd be wonderful.
And then we'd know where to go, where we would support.
Absolutely.
Who to support. Now, this is something there's two things that I'd be really concerned about. One is parking, especially because I think there's some other big event going on in Galveston this weekend.
Yes, there's an Oktoberfest that's going on, but it's kind of off the other side of the Strand, but there's plenty of parking on the Strand. Since we're holding the event from noon to 9 p.m., it's going to be $5 a day to park. If they use any of the local meters, it's around $5 a day. And there's also some parking garages that are, very, very close, within walking distance, a couple of blocks. So parking is not going to be an issue at all.
Now, this is something that always concerns me, and it just kind of makes me a little crazy, too, is when people bring their dogs or their iguanas or whatever to these events, mainly because it's not good for the animal, in my opinion. It gets too hot. They don't really have a place to get out of the sun. Is this event pet-friendly?
No, ma'am, it's not. Unfortunately, it isn't. The only thing that, CNI dogs, of course, that's essential, but other than that, we have really no room to... It's a concreted area, so...
Right, you can't accommodate them.
You can't accommodate them, no ma'am.
So don't bring your pets.
So leave your furry children at home find someone to
furry help. Children?
That's okay. You know that's what they are, Jennifer. You know your cats are your furry children.
I know, I was just asking.
Uh-huh. Although that's one thing, people don't tend to take their cats out to things, but I see these poor dogs and babies.
I'd rather see the dogs.
Yeah. But it's like, don't be bringing them out here.
Unless the baby's on a leash.
Some of them should be.
One question I had, how long has this been in the planning stage? I know you just said you just wanted to get it together. It's not, you just didn't start out last week, right?
Kind of.
Pretty darn close.
Well, you did great.
We've been planning it for about 6 months.
Okay.
We've been on the island almost 2 years now, and there was a lot of talk through the city and people were wanting things done, and Laura just took the initiative, to go ahead and just just to do one, especially during this time of year. You know, it was away from all the other Pride events. It really gave Galveston a focus.
Okay. Well, how has the city been? What kind
wonderful.
Of reception do you get from? Oh, really?
They have been absolutely wonderful. We've had city officials that have called and asked if there was anything that they could do for us. The city as a whole, as far as our permits or anything that we needed to do, they've been over backwards to help us.
You're going to have security people around?
We will have some security people around. We don't feel we will need it, but we will have security around.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about the vendors or the restaurants and the like on the Strand. Have you found a wide reception from everybody?
Yes, we have.
Not any problems on that? I'm not trying to create anything.
No.
I just want to make sure, because I've always found them to be terrific people, and I just wanted to reiterate that that's the case.
On the Strand?
On the Strand.
I think that because of the approach that we took where we didn't, we're not competing against anybody on the Strand. We're not competing against the restaurants. We're not competing against the shops.
You're bringing
you're working
business.
With them. You're bringing them business.
We're bringing them business, and the vendors that are going to be there will be arts and crafts. You know, will be just what you would see if you went to a small festival somewhere. You know, we're not doing anything. We're bringing business to the city. We're promoting business, you know, with the hotels. We do have discounted rates at a few of the hotels, and you can find that on our website at galvestonpride.org.
Now, you said you're with gayislander.com?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Gayislander.com is a new website that we have for the island. Anything and everything that you want to do, we listed all the gay-friendly places that are there. We also
hotels, restaurants, whatever.
The hotels, restaurants, the shops.
B&Bs.
All your B&Bs, as well as we book travel, cruises, hotels, and everything from that website now. So we can,
that's great.
We can send you all
what
over the world.
That's a great resource.
It really is. And I guess with the advent of the cruise ships leaving out of Galveston, that's really brought in a lot more. I know a few weeks ago I was down there, and I was pretty impressed with some of the growth and changes that I've seen. It's like a cleaner, brighter Galveston. The water was even blue, which I had never seen before. I'd never seen the water in the Gulf blue.
And there was one of the reasons that we did the Galveston Pride on October and this particular weekend is there's two major gay cruises that are going out from Galveston. So that's going to give, you know, a lot of the vendors, you know, some.
Now tell us again the location and the time for the festival.
Okay, the festival actually starts at noon. It's at Sangerfest Park on the Strand and 23rd. It goes till 9 o'clock. On the 26th, which is the day before, we have Pink Dolphin, which is one of our nightclubs there. They are kicking off that party at 5 o'clock. Saturday night, after the festival is over at 9 o'clock, you've got Undercurrent, which is one of the largest clubs that is there on the island. They're having a huge Halloween party. And then Third Coast is going to end the whole weekend with a beach party there at their club, sponsored by Red Bull.
All right.
So
we're having a whole weekend of fun.
A beach party at a club, does that mean you come in your swimsuit?
You can come any way you want, but you can see the beach
so
right
wrong. Don't tell her that.
It's so wrong.
It would be scary. You know, it is Halloween, you know. So we've been talking to Angela Snell, promoter of the gayislander.com and one of the organizers of the Galveston Gay Pride Fest.
What's that website again? For the festival?
It's galvestonpride.org.
Thank you.
And if you listen to us in Galveston, that's at 89.5 FM. Please support us at KPFT by pledging. If you're a listener, you should be a listener sponsor. So call in at 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT. And we appreciate your support. Thank you so much for being with us on Queer Voices, Angela.
Thank you.
jar. Not invite myself in, but they are really mine to open anymore. Time counting the first boy who kissed me on the stage in front of both of our families. Those high school plays where the playwright will tell you exactly what to do, exactly what to say. And I'm counting the first girl who kissed me, the first girl who didn't smile at me politely. And I'm remembering the time her eyes were closed tighter.
I like that artist. That's Julie Lloyd, and Lloyd is L-O-Y-D, found at julieloyd.com. And the reason we're playing her tonight, not that we wouldn't play her anyhow, but she'll be in town this Thursday night at one of our favorite little venues, Mojo Rising. That's a great place, very intimate. They got food there, too. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock. It's at 1600 Shepherd. It's a great place.
Yeah, and she's also going to be at Bear Creek Concerts on Saturday night out in LaGrange area, the Christy Claxton show. So you can just Google or look up Bear Creek Concerts, and it'll tell you about that show, which will be under a full moon out in the country.
Are you going to be there?
No, I got a Halloween party to go to.
Oh, I thought you were the full moon.
Thanks, JD.
No, that's only on...
Think I'm so hilarious on
Bear
this
Radio.
Show?
And speaking of great places to be, a great place to be is 90.1 on the FM dial.
Oh, that was so clever.
Oh, wasn't it? I've been rehearsing that all day. Well, and what's really important about 90.1 is that this is a radio station for and about the community. About the community means that we cover all aspects of the community, and we're one of the aspects of the community that KPFT in Pacifica has been involved in for many, many years. You know, last week was the 50th anniversary of the poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg, and it was originally played on WBAI, one of our stations in New York City, and they didn't feel that they would be able to play it again because the FCC probably would have fined them up the gazoo if they did it again this time. They played it on the website. It's available on the website. But, you know, Pacifica has been at the forefront of doing innovative, being far ahead of the time, sometimes bureaucratical and all those other things, but the fact is that this is a radio station for and about the people. And we ask you, as part of being the people, to help support this radio station.
You the people.
You the
and
people.
And we the people.
Right, we're all the people. So we're asking you to call us up at 713-526-KPFT and make that pledge.
Our goal is only $400 for this show, which is really actually
and
low.
I don't know that we've gotten anything yet, so people need to
call. Let's check out in the lobby and see if we do have anybody.
One important reason people should join is if you're a member of KPFT, you have say on who gets elected to the station advisory board, and we have elections coming up, so it's a way to be more involved in your community by being involved in community radio. So let's find out. Do we have any support out there?
You are listening to Keith and Pledge Central. We do have the support of our volunteers out here. That is also another way to become a part of the KPFT family, of course. It's not only through financial contribution that somebody is able to be a part of KPFT to take a vote in our elections, but of course at the $35 level, you can also have a part of that. And you know, I've got to tell you this, guys. The way that we run a radio station here is different than anybody else in town. We say that all the time, but it's true. Nobody else, nowhere else in town, do the listeners have a say in management decisions. Never would you see that. And also, when we're talking about Galveston, you know, I've been listening to you guys, and I've got to say, I was in Galveston not long ago, and with our new, at 90.1, at 100,000 watts, of course, we also have 89.5 in Galveston. I could sit there in my car and go back and forth between the two presets and could not hear a difference. They both came in crystal clear, and some very proud to say that we're heard all over the place now. And we need some of those people to call in. Let's do that number again. How about that? It's 713-526-KPFT. Give us a call, and we're all going to thank you and let you know that we like to have that support from our listeners out there, and it's really what keeps us alive. And so keep us alive. 713-526-KPFT. Guys, I'm going to toss it back to you here, and the next time you come out here, I'll tell you about all those people that are calling right now.
Okay, and that's at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. It's so important for you to support us because we support the community. And tomorrow there is a concert, Sing for the Cure, which is another way to raise awareness about breast cancer. It's benefiting the Houston chapter of the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It will be at Jones Hall, and it's by the Bayou City Chorale, which is a joint grouping of the Bayou City Women's Chorus and the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston. And you can find out more at BayouCityPerformingArts.org or by calling 713-521-SING, S-I-N-G. So, we're listener sponsored. You're a listener, so you need to sponsor. JD, Jennifer, Glenn, Jack, myself, and other folks that come on the show, we all be volunteers. And so please support us, and there's so many ways. Credit cards, checks, cash, go online, www.kpft, and in our next hour we have
the award-winning Queer Music Heritage.
Absolutely.
And we will have the entire This Way Out, including news wrap. And JD has Singing the Blues, Queer Singing the Blues.
It's not Singing the Blues, it's Queer Blues.
That we were going to be singing the blues if we don't reach our goal. So.
Well, I'd like somebody out there just to write a check for $400 and go on and pledge right now.
Yeah, then we
don't have to worry, but we'll be so grateful. We'll talk about you the rest of the show. We'll break in. We'll let everybody know how great you are. So just come on, somebody call in and give us $400 for the show. And now that's 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
He saw that the women in the court had a passionate, loving intimacy forever closed to her. How strong it made them. What comfort it gave.
People say to me, don't make fun of Dick Cheney. He's got a gay daughter. Oh, really? Then there's something about Mary, apparently.
One of the reasons why I jumped to taking this new career path is I wanted to be, and I want Scott and I to do it together, actually, be a role model for the youth of our country.
Welcome Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Its top Muslim cleric urges island exile for Uganda's homosexuals. Another page turns in the Cheney family album. And all rise for TV's new gay judge. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Don Lupo.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 20th, 2007. Uganda's leading Muslim cleric recommended to President Yoweri Museveni this week that gay people should be marooned on an island for the rest of their lives. Sheikh Ramathan Shaban Mubaji told reporters following his meeting with Museveni that he asked the president to get us an island on Lake Victoria. We take these homosexuals and they die out there. Then we have no more homosexuals in the country. Adding that, such behaviors could be devastating to our generation, he went on to say that we join other religions in the fight against homosexuality. According to a report in Kampala's Monitor newspaper, some Muslim clerics who attended the meeting said Museveni never commented on Mubaji's proposal. He's well known, however, for rivaling another homophobic African leader, Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe, in his use of ugly anti-queer rhetoric. Uganda outlaws male homosexuality, a remnant of British colonial rule in the 19th century. Offenders face a sentence of up to life in prison. Attacks on gays and lesbians, both verbal and physical, have been commonplace in Uganda, but they've increased since Uganda LGBT rights groups held a first-ever public news conference in August to demand basic civil rights. Many of the participants, fearing reprisals, wore disguises. Supporters of a coalition of Christian and Muslim religious groups filled a downtown Kampala stadium a week later, demanding mass arrests of homosexuals. The International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission reported last week that it had uncovered evidence that the administration of George W. Bush has funded groups in Uganda that actively promote violence and discrimination against lesbians and gay men. Among those receiving money, according to U.S. government records cited by the queer advocacy group, is the Makerere University Community Church. Its leader, Pastor Martin Sempa, was the primary organizer of the anti-queer rally in Kampala. His coalition, which includes Roman Catholics, Anglicans, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, and Evangelicals, has also posted names, photos, and addresses of Ugandan LGBT rights activists online.
A spokesman for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said last week that the Iranian president was misquoted when he said during a late September appearance at Columbia University in New York that there are no gays and lesbians in his country. Presidential media advisor Mohammed Kalhor told Reuters that what Ahmadinejad said was that compared to American society, we don't have many homosexuals. But Hossein Alizadeh, the Persian-speaking communications director of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, disagreed. Alizadeh is a gay Iranian who won asylum in the U.S. based on his sexual orientation. He played an audio file on his computer over the telephone and translated Ahmadinejad's comments about hamjansbaz, a derogatory term for homosexuals as people with loose morals who seek those of the same gender for sexual pleasure this way. We in Iran, firstly, we don't have hamjansbaz like you have in your country. In our country, there is no such thing. In Iran, such a thing does not. In Iran, absolutely such a thing does not exist as a phenomenon. I don't know who told you otherwise. Alizadeh said Ahmadinejad again denied the existence of lesbi-gay people in the Islamic Republic a day later at a United Nations press conference. According to Alizadeh, a reporter for the Voice of America's Persian service asked him, "You mentioned that there is no such phenomena in Iran as homosexuality. Could you please elaborate on that?" According to Alizadeh, Ahmadinejad replied, "Seriously, I don't know of any. As for homosexuality, I don't know where it is. Give me an address so that we are also aware of what happens in Iran."
But Venezuela may become the first nation in South America to constitutionally protect its gay and lesbian citizens. The National Assembly, which is controlled by President Hugo Chavez, this week approved the addition of sexual orientation to categories protected under human rights provisions of an amended constitution. Chavez, who's come under fire from U.S. officials for his friendship with Cuban President Fidel Castro and his support for Iran, also wants the constitution amended to end term limits, effectively allowing him to continue as president for an indefinite period. The revised constitution must still be approved by the country's voters.
Meanwhile, more than 800,000 people participated in the 12th annual LGBT Pride Parade in Rio de Janeiro on October 14th along the famous Copacabana Beach. Many participants were scantily clad despite relatively cool temperatures as they danced to samba music and waved rainbow flags. Political banners called for Brazil's Congress to enact LGBT hate crimes measures and marriage equality for same-gender couples. According to Brazilian human rights groups, more than 2,500 LGBT people have been murdered in the country in the past 10 years. After both his sister and father were killed by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia and receiving death threats and harassment for being gay, a Colombian immigrant has won asylum in the United States. According to San Francisco's LGBT Bay Area reporter, the man's identity remains confidential because of provisions related to asylum cases. The man fled to Miami on a 3-month visa 6 months after his father's murder. He eventually moved to San Francisco and found a lawyer to argue for asylum. The man was diagnosed with HIV while undergoing required medical tests for the case and was granted asylum based on his HIV status. But Nicaraguan gay refugee Alvaro Orozco has reportedly been in hiding in Toronto since Canadian authorities ordered his deportation by October 4th. The now 22-year-old man has sought a safe place to live since he fled his father's beatings and his native country's macho homophobic culture when he was 13. Orozco hitchhiked through Central America and Mexico, briefly found shelter in the U.S., and eventually made his way to Canada. He was denied asylum by Immigration Canada last year because the hearing judge didn't believe he is gay. Several appeals of that ruling have failed, even when Orozco's lawyers demonstrated the extensive news coverage his case has received in Nicaragua, which outlaws same-gender sex, and how he'd almost certainly be persecuted if he's forced to return to his home country. Orozco's only hope of staying in Canada and avoiding that potentially violent fate is Immigration Minister Dianne Findlay, who's been asked to grant him a minister's permit to stay in Canada based on humanitarian and compassionate grounds. In other news, even though Sweden has had a registered partnership law since 1994, granting same-gender couples all the rights of marriage except the word, three opposition parties have introduced a motion in Parliament to create full marriage equality for lesbian and gay couples. The Social Democrats, Greens, and Left parties submitted the legislation. Even though three of the four parties that make up the governing coalition support the move, the government couldn't submit the bill itself because one of its partners, the Christian Democrats, opposes the proposal. According to reports, only four favorable votes by MPs from the governing coalition will be needed for the measure to pass. Queer activists in Australia have stepped up their lobbying efforts in recent weeks for legal recognition of same-gender couples at the federal level, which Liberal Party Prime Minister John Howard has resisted since he first took office in 1996. He's been re-elected three times since then and has now called new elections for November 24th. With Kevin Rudd's opposition Labour Party polling 12 percentage points ahead of the Liberals, LGBT voters are expected to be wooed during the campaign by the two major parties, as well as by smaller, more progressive parties such as the Greens, who strongly supported couples' equality. Howard's government has thus far ignored a June report by the country's Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission recommending that 58 laws be changed to grant gay, bisexual, and lesbian Australians equal rights, including benefits for same-gender couples. And finally, the U.S. military this week violated its own Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, banning gays and lesbians from serving openly in the armed forces, but only for a few days. According to USA Today, the Army, Navy, and Air Force placed ads for new recruits on Glee.com, a site for gay and lesbian professionals. The acronym stands for Gay, Lesbian, and Everyone Else. Most of the advertised military jobs were for hard-to-fill positions requiring advanced training, although some were for core combat slots at a time when the Iraq War has challenged recruiters to meet Pentagon goals. The ads promoted openings for medical professionals, intelligence analysts, and badly needed Arabic translators, among others, and were placed through Glee.com's parent company, New York-based Community Connect, as part of a diversity program of jobs listings giant Monster.com. Soon after a USA Today reporter asked clueless recruiters about the ads, they were polled. Steve Rawls of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a lesbi-gay military advocacy group, told USA Today that the majority of Glee's members would not be allowed to be as open in the military as they are online, adding that gays and lesbians have been drummed out of the armed forces simply for using sites like Glee. Since Don't Ask, Don't Tell became law in 1993, some 11,082 highly trained lesbi-gay military personnel have been discharged,
and at a huge cost to U.S. taxpayers, estimated to be at least $363 million.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 20th, 2007, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Don Lupo.
And I'm John Beaupre.
So I said, Scott, you know, I've never seen you out anywhere. Where do you meet men? He said, meet men? What do you mean? I've got a girlfriend. We're going skiing in Taos, New Mexico. I'm not gay. I said, yes, you are.
The judge who's bringing his queer eye to a True Life TV courtroom hosts This Way Out's Steve Pride in chambers to discuss life and love later in the program. U.S. Second Lady Liz Cheney has recently been out on the book tour trail. The wife of Vice President Dick Cheney and mother of lesbian, sometimes political activist Mary Cheney has come up with a quirky, salacious little tidbit to draw attention to her new Growing Up in Wyoming memoir. Cheney made headlines this week with the news that her research for Blue Skies, No Fences reveals an ancestral link between the Vice President, frequently likened to Darth Vader, and the Democrats' would-be black Luke Skywalker, Senator Barack Obama. That family values anecdote may be tantalizing the press today, but we still recall an even quirkier, more salacious little tidbit from the author's earlier work, as read here by Cindy Friedman.
Once I had a secret love. Secret love became impatient to be free.
The women who embraced in the wagon were Adam and Eve crossing a dark cathedral stage. No, Eve and Eve, loving one another as they would not be able to once they ate of the fruit and knew themselves as they truly were. She felt curiously moved, curiously envious of them. She had never to this moment thought Eden a particularly attractive paradise, based as it was on naivete. But she saw that the women in the cart had a passionate, loving intimacy forever closed to her. How strong it made them, what comfort it gave. The young woman was heavily powdered, but quite attractive, a curvesome creature, rounded at bosom and cheek. When she smiled, even her teeth seemed puffed and rounded like tiny ivory pillows. Let us go away together, away from the anger and imperatives of men. We shall find ourselves a secluded bower where they dare not venture. There will be only the two of us, and we shall linger through long afternoons of sweet retirement. In the evenings, I shall read to you while you work your cross-stitch in the firelight, and then we shall go to bed, my dearest girl. You've been listening to an excerpt from Sisters, a 1981 novel by Lynn, mother of Mary and wife of U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney.
It's the brain-twisting contradictions that seem to emit from the Cheney family that got lesbian feminist humorist Kate Clinton going in her 2004 album, The Marrying Kind. In particular, Lynn's outrage at the alleged outing of her already out daughter Mary by then-presidential candidate John Kerry.
On the way over to the show tonight, I heard on Fox News, so it must be true. Yeah. I heard that Dick Cheney, and in our house we call him the Bush Whisperer. I know, people say to me, don't make fun of Dick Cheney, he's got a gay daughter. Oh, really? Well, there's something about Mary, apparently. Here's the weird thing, though. He's got a gay daughter, but his wife does not. No, I don't know if you saw this, but there's an interview with Dick Cheney's lovely wife, Lon Cheney, and, she's scary. And they said to her, so now you've got a lesbian daughter, and she recently came out, and Lon Cheney was like, ah, she did no such thing. Scary. She's very scary. But Dick announced from a secure, undisclosed location, also known as intensive care, Well, you know he had a defibrillator put in, and he is fibbing better. Honey, fire up the microwave. Dick's coming over for dinner. Okay. Just another little announcement, and that is I will be doing the whole show tonight in real time. Okay, because people have TiVo now, and they have no clue what real time actually is. All summer long, everybody was recording that The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Did you do that? But, and you know, it's a great show, but, you know, I'd just like to point out that it took five gay men to replace Martha Stewart. So the whole point of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, as you know, is these gay men invade a home, and they take these really schlubby straight guys who have horrible, hideous personal habits. They're gross. And they get them ready so that they can get the gal. Now, I think that's wrong. I think we should keep it in the family, don't you think? And it should be Queer Eye for the Lesbian Guy. And just help the gals get the gals. And now here's another thing. I don't know if you know this, but now Absolut Vodka is sponsoring gay events. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Very exciting. It's called Absolut Out. But Absolut Out, I think, gives the wrong idea to people. I mean, you think you come out and you should get a year's supply of vodka. That would be Absolut Blackout. Well, God, I think I came out to my family last night. No one's talking to me. And they're shunning me. They're shunning me. I must have done... Although, I don't know about you, but I sort of like it when my family shunned me. Didn't you? I had more time. Oh, my God. Now they like to come and visit. Oy, please. And we've got lots of sponsorship now. We've gone from being a gay movement now to being a gay market, apparently. Amazing. And we've even got our own little brand now, that little equal sign thing. You know, it's cool, but I think, you know, just for a couple of years, I wish we had done the better than sign. Don't you think? It's kind of fun. But gosh, we're getting product endorsement now. I mean, what is next? Motrin sponsors the Michigan Women's Music Festival. It could happen. Or Xanax and Ambien sponsor the circuit parties. Actually, I guess they already are. These guys come and they all have the same kind of body. Have you ever noticed that sort of over-pectoralized gay men? I mean, they look like little Cornish gay men. And their arms are so short. You just worry they're not going to get the food to their mouths. You know, you just want to give them longer utensils and help them out. So, and here's another one. Preparation H sponsoring the sodomy celebrations. You are a tender little crowd, aren't you? Well, that was a lot to celebrate, though, don't you think? That decision this summer? Lawrence versus Texas, you know? Fabulous. Amazing. Apparently, while old Juggernaut George was trying to strike down Saddam, the Supremes were striking down sodomy. Yes. And at least they got the job done.
That was lesbian fumerist Kate Clinton from her CD, The Marrying Kind. For more information, check out www.kateclinton.com.
Visibility is the key to success of the lesbian and gay movements for civil rights protection. Hi, I'm Urvashi Vaid, inviting you to listen to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine, one of our most visible and articulate voices for our lesbian and gay communities.
He's fun, he's fair, and he's fabulous. Judge David Young has made history in the new TV season by becoming the first out gay man to have his own daytime show. Our own Steve Pride put Judge Young on the stand to learn more about the man under the robes.
Your Honor, I don't feel that I'm responsible.
Of course you don't! What a disgusting answer.
Well,
quiet! One little, two little, three little tickets, four little, five little, six little tickets, seven little, eight little, nine little tickets, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
I'm Judge David Young, star of the new Judge David Young show.
What is your background?
I grew up in North Miami Beach, Florida, native Miamian. I went to college at Tulane University, where I was president of the student body. And then after Tulane, I went to the University of Miami, where I went to law school. And during that time, I worked for the law firm that employed F. Lee Bailey of counsel, and I did some work for Mr. Bailey. And that was a thrill, working with someone of his intellect. And then after law school, I went to work for the incredible Janet Reno. I was one of her assistants, and I was a prosecutor in Miami-Dade County for close to 4 years. And from there, I opened my own practice, and I represented individuals charged with crime. And I also did some family law. I did a little bit representing some sports personalities that got into trouble. And in 1992, I ran and got elected judge for the county court in Miami. Did that for 8 years. And then in 2000, I ran and got elected unopposed to be a circuit judge. And that's what I was doing up until May of 2007, when I resigned to do my new job as the host of the Judge David Young Show.
Have you always been out in your professional career?
No. I didn't come out until 1994. I read a book on the beach, actually. And the book was called Coming Out Conservative, because I was a very conservative in those days. And I started to cry, because the book illustrated the life of an individual who was 70 years old and who was very politically active and was very influential, but a certain component of his life was missing, and that component was love. And I saw myself saying, being that person, that I could be 70 years old and never finding a life partner, never experiencing love, never experiencing the joy that comes with being in a relationship, and the heartache too, because it's all part of life. And I said, at that point, I'm going to come out and I'm going to just be myself. I've got to be me. And it was incredibly liberating. And I really believe that if a person is going to be successful in a same-sex relationship, you have to be out to your family and out to yourself. If not, you have that barrier that just doesn't work. And I was fortunate to find my partner, Scott Burdson. He was a simple lawyer back in the day. After I got elected to become a judge in 1992, I was at a law firm Christmas party. And one of the partners in the firm was an out gay man, and I figured, well, this would be a good opportunity for me to meet somebody. And I see this guy, this incredibly good-looking guy, standing by the food plate. Doesn't I figure food by the food plate? And I spoke with him, and we talked, and we talked, and we found we had a lot in common. He was born in Miami. I was born in Miami. And we decided to meet for lunch. And as Scott would say, sure, when the judge asks you to go to lunch, you go to lunch. It's business development. He's so romantic. And we went to lunch. We had a wonderful conversation. We found out about our families. And he told me that he was a founding member of the support group for the symphony. He loves Broadway. He loves opera. He's very cultured. He likes to go on travels and all this other good stuff. So I said, Scott, you know, I've never seen you out anywhere. Where do you meet men? He said, meet men? What do you mean? I've got a girlfriend. We're going skiing in Taos, New Mexico. I'm not gay. I said, yes, you are. Straight men do not form support groups for the symphony. Straight men do not like opera and Broadway. Hello. I wanted to die. I was finally coming out to somebody who I really liked, and he tells me he's straight. And I knew he wasn't straight because my gaydar is very good. And I'm driving off, and I'm thinking to myself, please, road, open up, swallow my car. Swallow me. I want to die. That's it. My life is over. A year and 3 months later, I'm at a club in Miami, Miami Beach, and all of a sudden, Scott walks in. And I'm there with a friend of mine. And he said, hi, David, it's Scott Burdson. And I looked at him like, who are you? I know you look familiar, but where do I know you from? And then I remember where I knew him from, and that was on the 3rd of January. And then we went out for dinner and a movie on January 7th, 1995. We've been together ever since. And his father was the advisor to my dad in the fraternity, and our fathers and mothers have known each other for 61 years. And my mother wanted me to meet a nice, professional Jewish girl. Well, two out of three ain't bad.
And how does that work? You're both judges, correct?
Yeah, Scott is a judge. He's a judge in Miami-Dade County. And we are so totally opposite. Oh, my God. He reads. He's an intellect. He's absolutely brilliant. He could talk about any issue and just talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. Me? Sit next to me at a cocktail party. You'll have a good time.
Why is it important that public figures be out?
One of the reasons why I jumped to taking this new career path is I wanted to be, and I want Scott and I to do it together, actually, be a role model for the youth of our country. You know, when you read statistics and they show that young people who are dealing with sexual orientation issues are the highest group of committing suicide, it just makes you want to cry. There's got to be someone out there that will lead by example, that they can go up and say, God, I want to be like Judge David Young. I'm a gay guy, or I'm a lesbian. I want to be like Judge David Young, or Melissa Etheridge, or one of the, you know, people that have made it. And look what he's done. I can do anything I want to do by studying, by being focused. And there is a chance I can do it. I told a story the other day. When I was in high school, I remember going to sleep every night and praying to God, please make me straight. I want to be president of the United States. Please make me straight. I want to be president of the United States. Today, there is no reason why a person's sexual orientation should prohibit them from doing anything. And I think that message of power, message of support needs to be out there to those struggling young men and women who are dealing with sexual orientations issues. And I'm ready, willing, and able to be that spokesperson.
What would be the biggest surprise to someone about you?
That is an incredible question that no one has ever asked. Probably that I'm very sensitive. I'm a very sensitive person. I really feel for people. And I go out of my way to help people if I possibly can. And I won't give money to someone begging on the street. I'll get them food, because I think it's more important to give them food. If it's a stray dog, I will pick up that stray dog, even being on the Humane Society Board of Directors in Miami. I have a very, really, really passion. But do not cross me. Because once you cross David Young, you are written off forever. I am as stubborn as the day is long. So that would probably be the biggest prize. I'm incredibly stubborn. I'm giving. I'll give you the shirt off my back. But you stab me in the back, and you are out of my life forever. And I won't look back.
If I stabbed you in the back, I really wouldn't want your shirt.
Why? It's very expensive.
You have a hole in it. This has been a conversation with Judge David Young. The Judge David Young Show is produced by Sony Pictures and distributed throughout the United States. To find out when it airs in your town, check your local listings or log on to judgedavidyoung.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Don Lupo, John Beaupre, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Cindy Friedman, and Steve Pride contributed program material. K.D. Lang performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out anytime and exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also get there by clicking on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are supported by direct charitable donations from you, our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air and get some very special LGBT music, history, and culture CDs from our archives. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our weekly programs there. To request a CD or cassette copy of this week's program or sign up for our weekly email program information messages, email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WPOV Bend, Oregon, 3OCR Colac, Victoria, WOJB Hayward, Wisconsin, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Judge David Young would order you to stay tuned.
And that is our This Way Out edition for this week. We really appreciate being able to get that show, and that's part of, well, actually, it's not a part of Pacifica. It is a collective in Los Angeles who do the show at our KPFK, a station there, but it's put out there free of charge, and we're very lucky to be able to have such a quality show as part of Queer Voices.
Although they would like some support.
Absolutely.
And so would we.
Speaking of some support, we need some, too.
And we're not talking about the undergarment time.
Yes, and we know who you are out there, the person that's going to call in with that $400 donation, or if not, at least somebody calling in with some other donations.
10 people with $40.
$10, yes, absolutely.
You know,
look, you and your partner out there, $200 each. Come on, you can do that. Call in, make the contribution, get us off the hook here. We really appreciate it. If you don't know the number, it's 713-526-5738.
Put it on plastic. Make a monthly contribution, a sustaining member. There's
cash, small bills. We don't care.
Large bills. You know, your coin collection, you know, diamonds, we'll take. But it's so important to support community radio, and it's most important to support the programming that you listen to. And unless all those folks were lying that told me they listened, then they should be also phoning in and pledging. And pledging doesn't mean just saying, oh, I'm going to give you. It means actually paying that pledge, honoring that pledge, and honoring the work that goes on here at KPFT. If it's important to you, you should be supporting it. So please call us. We want to meet our goal. We work hard to bring you all this interesting programming, the music. I cannot believe the number of hours that JD devotes to what
Me
he
neither.
Does. It's like, you ever think about getting a life? Jennifer and Jag both are very involved in politics, and I'm involved in lots of other things, and we try to bring the sense of all those things that we're involved with to Queer Voices. So please support the work that we do, support this wonderful radio station, all the fine programming, the diverse programming. 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT. And you're listening to KPFT Houston.
Come and rock that bell for my gal and bone. They call him on. Lord, I woke up this morning with my pork and business in my hand. Yes, I woke up this morning with my pork and business in my hand.
Don't you just love those old blues lyrics? Someone stole his girl and he woke up with his pork grinding business in his hand. So he says, Lord, if you can't send me no woman, please send me some sissy man. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and this is another one of my deep history shows. To give it a concise title, I'm calling it Queer Blues, and I'll be taking the music of gay, lesbian, and bisexual blues artists from the mid-1920s and stopping just past Stonewall in 1970. Now, that first artist, at least as far as I know, was not gay, but his song Sissy Man Blues was a good way to start off. His name was Kokomo Arnold, and his version of the song was recorded in January of 1935. As he wrote it, I'm giving him credit for likely having the first version of it, though I also have the song by several others, including Josh White. That song is a natural lead-in to one of the oldest songs I'm playing on this show. Ma Rainey was known as the mother of the blues, and in 1926, she recorded a song called Sissy Blues. We'll pick up the song at the second verse.
Will I have
Now, if you had a little trouble understanding the lyrics on such an old recording, here are the main plot points. I dreamed last night I was far from harm, woke up and found my man in a sissy's arms. Some are young, some are old. My man says sissy's got good jelly roll. My man's got a sissy, his name is Miss Kate. He shook that thing like jelly on a plate. Now all the people ask me why I'm all alone. A sissy shook that thing and took my man from home. Ma Rainey and Sissy Blues from 1926. But she had another recording that is perhaps the most famous early queer blues song, and it's one of the very first that is lyrically gay, or in this case, lyrically lesbian. This song has been covered many times over the years, but of course I'm bringing you the original. From 1928, Ma Rainey and Prove It On Me Blues.
When I last night had a great big fight, everything seemed to go wrong. I looked up to my surprise, the gal I was with was gone. I didn't know where she took it. I want the whole world to know. This day I do it. Ain't nobody caught me. You got to prove it on me. But out last night with a crowd of my friends, there must have been women, but I don't like no men. It's true, I wear color. Make the wind blow all the while. But to say I do it, ain't nobody caught me. They sure got to prove it on me.
I just love that line. Went out last night with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women, cause I don't like no men. That was an abbreviated version of the song. I wish I had time on this show to play the complete songs, but I want to introduce you to as many of these early artists as I can. And you may ask, how can I say artists from so many decades ago were gay, lesbian, or bi? Well, from researching old liner notes, books, and the internet, I found many references to back up the inclusion of these artists on my show. And this next one is certainly no exception. You do a Google search on the name Bessie Smith and the word bisexual, and you'll get over 28,000 hits. Noted jazz journalist and record producer Chris Albertson wrote perhaps the definitive biography of Bessie Smith. He interviewed her niece Ruby Smith in 1971 and got these comments about Bessie and the subject of Buffet Flats.
Bessie had a party up there at this woman's house, right near the jailhouse there in Detroit. And that's where the faggots used to dress like women there, and it wasn't against the law, you know. That was an open, real open house for everybody there in that town. And that's where, I told you, they had that party that time, and I went to it. Bessie and all of us went to the party, and all of us got so drunk there at that house, that some house that was a friend of Bessie, some woman had a house there, Buffet Flat.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat.
What was a buffet flat?
A buffet flat is nothing but faggots and bulldaggers and an open house. Everything goes on in that house.
But I mean, it was strictly with a gay place.
A very gay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was strictly for faggots and
everything that was in the life. Everybody that's in the life.
Why was it called a buffet flat?
Buffet means everything.
Yeah.
Everything goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a faggot there. It was so great that people used to come there just to watch him make love to another man.
Mm-hmm.
In them days, they only had them working in there that could draw money, you see. They had to pay as they come in. You know the buffet flat. They pay as they come in. You have to pay to go in. And they have shows in every room. It's different. Two women going together. a man and a man going together. And anything that you want to see is in that place. And if you're interested, they'll do the same thing to you.
Let's hear Bessie sing a little more about those buffet flats.
As a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat, and when she gives a party, she knows just where she's at. She gives us a
Bessie Smith and those soft pedal blues from 1925. Also from 1925 is Ethel Waters and her song Dinah. No, that really wasn't one of her more bluesy songs, but lyrically, I just couldn't resist picking that one. Ethel Waters was perhaps the first black superstar, famous for her work in nightclubs, Broadway, radio, and films, being only the second African-American nominated for an Academy Award in 1949. Her signature song was Am I Blue? Up next, if ever there was a blues artist who personified the image of the Bull Dyke, it was Gladys Bentley. She weighed around 250 pounds and performed in her trademark tuxedo and top hat and openly flirted with the women in the audience. There's not a lot of her catalog that's been reissued on CD, but here's a little of one of her songs called How Much Can I Stand?
Hey, foggy's in the morning, foggy's when the sun goes down. Hey, now foggy's in the morning, foggy's when the sun goes down. backwater, left me with a lonely dove.
Gladys Bentley from 1928 with How Much Can I Stand. And as Gladys Bentley was a Bull Dyke, here's an artist singing about them. Lucille Bogan recorded between 1923 and 1935, and many of her songs were lyrically raw, like one called Shave 'em Dry. I won't be playing that one. Many blues artists in those days, in order to get around recording contracts, would record under other names. Around 1932, Lucille Bogan began recording under the name Bessie Jackson, and under that name gave us the song B.D. Women Blues, with B.D. referring to Bull Dykes, or more colloquially, Bull Daggers.
I'm in a time, B.D. women ain't gonna need no me. I'm in a time, B.D. women ain't going to need no me.
Yes, those BD women can walk and lay their jive just like a natural man. Bessie Jackson and BD Women Blues from 1935. Now, before you think I'm only playing women blues singers on this show, I'm going to introduce you to Frankie Half Pint Jackson. Called Half Pint because he was only 5'2" tall, Jackson often performed comedy songs and songs as a female impersonator. He took the role of a woman in the songs, providing lots of sexual double entendre, with songs like this one from 1929, Operation Blues, where he's playing a woman patient.
Doctor,
I'm right in. What's your trouble?
Oh, Doctor, I think I got
tinnitus,
and I need operation right there. Oh, don't get right
there. I can see right now. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
You what?
Now, don't get fresh, Doctor. I'm a married woman. I can see right now, madam. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I see. You know what I mean.
Yes. Better than anyone knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, what's that you got, that doctor? What's that you got holding in your hand?
What about that? Yeah, that's the doctor.
Yeah, but a woman knows, doctor. Please tell me, what's all of that you got there holding in your hand?
Quiet.
What is it?
That's nothing but my two money.
Huh?
Can't you understand?
Oh, I understand.
Quiet.
All right.
Now be real quiet, madam.
Come on, Mr. T.
Lay flat on your back.
A bit flat, Doc.
No, just kind of raise that left leg a little.
Oh, now I'll be right there.
Now be right quiet, madam.
All right, madam.
Lay flat on your back.
I'm a girl now.
All right.
All right, but if you heard me, Doctor, I swear I'm never coming back.
I miss
you. Also from 1929, here's a bit of a not-so-subtle one called My Daddy Rocks Me with One Steady Roll.
Oh,
from this point pretty much just repeat themselves, except that he takes two instrumental breaks, complete with simulated sex sound effects that are actually very amusing. That was Frankie doing guest vocals on a track by famous blues artist Tampa Red. Before I leave the 20s and 30s, I've got another artist who dabbled in female impersonation, Billy Banks. His band, the Rhythm Makers, included some early jazz all-stars like Eddie Condon, Pee Wee Russell, and Fats Waller. For 1932, here's Billy and the Band with Oh Peter.
Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, do, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh Peter, call around tonight. Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, do, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh, call around tonight.
Another woman blues singer who was rumored to be lesbian was Alberta Hunter. Her career began in the 1920s, and she achieved much popularity until she retired in the mid-1950s. That retirement lasted for over 20 years until she started singing again in 1978, and again gained much acclaim, performing up until her death in 1984 at age 89. From 1940, here's a bit of her singing, I Won't Let You Down.
So you say you're gonna leave me, that you're absolutely through. If your mind is made up that way, there is nothing that I can do. Just remember these words. You want my love someday. I gave you my affection. You shared everything I had. I double-crossed my poor old mother, gave a lie to my dear old dad. I was just your slave. I loved and worshipped you.
Alberta Hunter from 1940, and we're in the 50s now, with an openly gay artist who was idolized by Little Richard, and who helped Little Richard get his first recording contract. That was Billy Wright with the song You Satisfy, one of his first recordings and first successes, done for the famous Savoy record label in 1950. It was Wright who got Little Richard, then Richard Penniman, to come to Atlanta, where he did his first recordings. And Wright, with his big hair, heavy stage makeup, and gospel-styled blues shouting, no doubt influenced Little Richard. We'll hear more about Little Richard in a little while, but first, this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. And for more very queer programming, Please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
And we're going to take a little bit of a break here from Queer Music Heritage. Queer Music Heritage is locally produced here in Houston by J.D. Doyle. And it's an absolutely wonderful program. Queer Music Heritage is an award-winning program, and we're very lucky that J.D. is the person who puts this program together every once a month. And we're really, really excited to be able to have this program available here at KPFT. And it's also online in case you miss it. But we're asking you to support KPFT. We're now in our pledge drive, in our fall pledge drive. And KPFT is a very special station. It's a station where they allow community people to come in and program and do programming specific to their own community. And we try to keep the show open to many different people, putting on fundraisers, people organizing, volunteers, all different types of people within the community, within the GLBT community. But we ask you to do your part. You know, only about 10% of the people that listen to the station actually support the station. And you're under no obligation to do so, but we hope that you feel it's rather important to do so because it does take money to keep the station going. Even though everybody on this show is a volunteer, there are expenses of keeping the transmitter up, the rent, the taxes that the station has to pay. Even though we're non-commercial, we still have to pay some of those taxes. Some of the programs that we do get, we have to pay for that come from outside. There's a staff to pay for. There's a news department, which KPFT is very proud to have a local news department, that's probably bigger than most of the commercial stations because most of the commercial stations in town do not even have news. And we feel that's important here at KPFT. And when you become a member, you also have the opportunity to actually vote for the people for the local advisory board who actually are the people who are legally running the station here. So we're asking you to call us. Call us at 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. Those are the numbers. Those are the numbers to call us. We're here. We have operators standing by. It's a very easy process. You can also pledge online. And if you've been listening to KPFT for a while, you know the drill. We do this a couple times a year, and we've asked you to become part of this station, become part of the audience that really is the ones that we're serving. I mean, we have a license issued by the Federal Communications System, and we're supposed to be serving the public interest. Every radio station and TV station that is licensed is supposed to be serving the public interest. And but it's really the community radio stations that do serve the public interest because we're here because of your support. And, you know, KPFT has been on since 1970. The Pacifica Foundation, of the five stations across the country, has been on for more than 50 years. And it's a very different approach to radio programming that's ever done before in this country, where we ask the public to call up and support us. So call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Queer Voices is done by a collective of people. And there's about five of us that come in and put together the show each week. Deborah does the scheduling, but each one of us do our part to put the show together. And mostly what we do is we interview people throughout the community, people that are involved in the community in one aspect or another, people who are volunteers, people who have done, you know, some incredible things in the community, and we basically talk about what's going on in the community. We no longer have a weekly newspaper, and Queer Voices is one of the ways that we try to keep the community connected. And what's happening now in Houston is that a number of organizations are struggling to keep on going. The fact of the matter is that we're so spread out, and in some ways it's part of the success of the community that people don't feel that they may need some of the organizations in the community. And we try to talk about all those different issues. So we're asking you now to help support Queer Voices, which is a reflection of the community here in Houston, the GLBT community, and we ask you to do so by calling us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We do a 2-hour show live almost every week, including holidays, Monday holidays or whatever holidays fall on Monday. And we feel it's an obligation to come in here and do this type of programming. And certainly we ask for your suggestions. If you want to suggest different types of guests or some of the aspects that we may not be covering, we're open to those suggestions. But we're basically here every week to do a type of program that we think that the community is most interested in. And we try to inform. And the show is not just for the GLBT community. The show is generally for the entire community within Houston, because we want to sort of bridge that gap. We want to sort of talk about some of the issues we have in common with some of the other communities. But we only have this platform because KPFT allows us to do that. And we certainly appreciate the privilege of being able to do that. But having that privilege also carry some responsibilities. And part of that responsibility is help during the pledge drive and ask you all to help support this type of programming here on KPFT. We're very privileged to be able to do it. And as in all the other programs, we think we're all very privileged to be able to have this open mic here, this mic that they don't tell us what to program, what to do. They allow us to use our best judgment to cover our communities. So we're asking you to take on part of your responsibility and call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Help support Pacifica Radio in Houston.
Oh, I wake up in the morning, put on my wig, slip on my hose, and I do a little jig. I got them drag queen blues, mama, haunting me night and day. Oh yeah, I got them drag queen blues, mama, you better stay out of my way. Oh no, 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 no. Well, I
no, that isn't an old blues song. It's a recent one called Drag Queen Blues from drag queen superstar Hedda Lettuce, and it's the perfect intro for these next three artists. This first recording is quite obscure. I found it on a CD by 50s orchestra leader Tiny Bradshaw. He recorded for the King record label out of Cincinnati, and singing lead on a couple of his tracks was a female impersonator named Little Tiny Kennedy. From 1952 is Newspaper Boy Blues. Kennedy, backed by Tiny Bradshaw and his orchestra. And here's another interesting female impersonator, Billy McAllister. He is probably much more known for a comedy album released in 1972 called What a Big Piece of Meat. That was put out by producer Rudy Ray Moore, who found much success in the 70s by issuing very X-rated comedy recordings by himself and a stable of others. But I only recently discovered that Billy McAllister's career goes back 20 years earlier. In 1952, he recorded at least four songs for a Memphis label. And the song I picked is interesting because it obviously was recorded as a female impersonator, because it is sung to a man. Its title, 31E Blues, refers to his trip down Highway 31 to Nashville in search of his lover man.
Well, I'm gonna change 31E. Going down to Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee. Well, I'm looking for my lover man. Please, somebody tell me where he can be. It's been a long time, babe, since you held me in your arms.
Even more obscure than Billy McAllister was female impersonator Patsy Vaudelaar, and historians can't even seem to agree on her last name. I've also seen it given as Vaudalia, Vidalia, and Valadier. At any rate, for a couple of decades, she was the star of the famous Dewdrop Inn in New Orleans. In 1953, Mercury Records recorded several New Orleans artists, and Patsy traveled to Los Angeles to do two songs. One of them was right from her stage repertoire, Keep Your Hands on Your Heart, which was a hit in 1950 for Billy Wright, who we heard earlier. As legend has it, when she sang that song live, she instructed the men in the audience to put their hand over their crotch. Here's Patsy Vaudelaar and Keep Your Hands on Your Heart.
Yes, and your mind on me. No, I love you, baby, and I don't care where you might be. Yes, when we first met, it wasn't but us two. Make it three. Sweet, pretty baby, you can't do that to me.
We're going to take a break from those female impersonating blues singers to go to a rough and tough woman artist, Big Mama Thornton. Rumored to be lesbian, she's mostly known to the general public today as the artist who first recorded the song Hound Dog. She had an R&B hit with it in 1952, but of course Elvis had a huge hit with the song 4 years later. Here's the original.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping around my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
Big Mama Thornton and Hound Dog. Let's see if you can recognize this next artist. quite recognize him? He first recorded in Atlanta in 1951 and then toured all over the Southeast, playing Nashville, New Orleans, and so forth, landing in Houston in 1953, where he recorded that last song, Directly From My Heart, for the Peacock label. That contract really didn't work out, so in 1955 he moved to the Specialty Records label. Still don't know who he is? Well, you probably are much more used to hearing him sounding like this.
Wah bam loom bam 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 to the boot over.
Yes, that was Little Richard, and of course the song Tutti Frutti. There's an interesting story about that song. In 1955, Specialty Records producer Bumps Blackwell was sent to New Orleans to record Little Richard, and neither he nor the band knew quite what to make of him. As he came into the studio wearing a loud shirt, his hair waved 6 inches above his head, and talking wildly, they took a break from the session and went over to the Dewdrop Inn, where Richard was no doubt more at ease, and he started joking around with the crowd, playing one of his favorites from his stage show. It had lyrics like Tutti Frutti, Good Booty, and If It Don't Fit, Don't Force It, You Can Grease It, Make It Easy. The impact on the crowd was the energy they needed to capture in the studio, though they wisely cleaned up the lyrics. Little Richard became a genuine pioneer of rock and roll. I recently contacted Little Richard, and he found time in his busy schedule to take a couple questions. Little Richard, you've gotten a lot of attention lately with that Geico TV commercial. What did you think when they first contacted you to do the commercial?
Whoa, look out! Look out!
Your career has certainly had its ups and downs, and I imagine that applies financially as well. What has been your normal approach to finding work?
Help me! Somebody help me!
Finally, many rock artists have lived by the credo of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What has been your personal credo?
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce!
I'm not even going to ask. Okay, now that that little diversion is over with, I need to mention another artist who went by the name Escarita. He was a friend of Little Richard's and no doubt influenced him quite a bit, if only in his stage presence, as he wore heavy makeup and 2 wigs, piling his pompadour even higher than Richard's. Here's a clip of an interview where Little Richard talks about Escarita.
I was taught how to play piano by Escarita and a fellow by the name of James.
So the influence of Escarita on Little Richard, or vice versa, is really there. It's
definitely. Yeah, the piano.
Tell me about him.
Strange.
Because a lot of people compare you
to. Strange, Roger. He was inspired by me to be in show business, but I was inspired by him because when I first met him, I met him at the bus station. One night I couldn't sleep in my hometown. I would sit there all night and watch people get off the bus. You know, you understand. Everybody's going to. And he got off. I said, oh, boy.
We have a picture here. Let's hold that up to the mic so our listeners can see it.
And you look at this picture and you say, that's happening now. The high top pompadour.
He really got his hair. The book made a mistake there. He really got his hairstyle from me. And Doc, you know, that was a mistake. He got his hairstyle from me.
That's right.
But he taught me how to play piano. He was playing One Mint Julep.
Right.
By the Clovers.
Right.
And it's. And I just love. I said, oh, boy, if I could just do that. Not knowing that one day I'll be doing it, you know. So I picked it up and carried it out.
Now, the New Orleans influence on your music is obvious.
Oh,
it's
heavy.
Very, very heavy.
Very heavy.
Were you listening to that music when you were a kid?
Gumbo got me.
Here's Escarita with a bluesy song from 1958 called Just Another Lie.
You told me
kind of blues. I just get loose. What you told me was just one of those big lies.
That was Escarita, who sadly died of AIDS in 1986 at age 47.
It's a fine gal, buddies and your pal, down in New Orleans, on the street they call a town, down at the Dewdrop Inn. You meet all your fine friends, oh baby, Dewdrop Inn, baby, at the Dewdrop Inn. Someone's watching Sloopy doing the skate with Lou. Send them boats to working while they're doing the boogaloo at the Dewdrop Inn. You meet all your fine friends. Oh, baby, Dewdrop Inn. Baby, at the Dewdrop Inn.
And I just couldn't resist one more quick listen to Escarita singing about the Dewdrop Inn. That venue's popped up several times on this show already, with more to come.
I've been down all my life, and so much misery.
We're still in the 1950s, and it's time to tell you about Bobby Marchand, another artist who performed as a female impersonator. In fact, in 1953, he organized a troupe of female impersonators called the Powder Box Revue. And when they toured through New Orleans, he decided to stay, sometimes performing at the Dewdrop Inn. At that time, Patsy Vaudelia, who you heard earlier, was master of ceremonies at the Dewdrop, and there just wasn't room for two drag divas, so Bobby assumed the same duties at the Club Tijuana. It was there in 1956 that Johnny Vincent, the owner of Ace Records, saw him and signed him to a record contract. Vincent had no idea that Bobby Marchand was not a real woman, and he still didn't a couple days later when Bobby came to the studio, again in drag. The band was cracking up when Vincent was finally told. That didn't discourage Vincent from promoting Marchand, and his first record for Ace was the one you've been hearing, Poor Pitiful Me. However, it wasn't until he was teamed with Huey Piano Smith that lightning struck, and they had a top 10 hit in 1958 with the song Don't You Just Know It. That song was released as by Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, and Bobby Marchand was lead vocalist. Marchand had a long career, recorded on quite a number of record labels, and performed until the year of his death in 1999, at age 69. And by now, you might be developing the impression that most of the early gay male blues singers were female impersonators. And I think that would be incorrect, because, think about it, we only know about the ones who were visible. In those decades, sexuality, especially the homo variety, was not much openly discussed. So mostly, only if the singers were open about it, as in while doing female impersonation, would gayness even be considered. And of course, just because a performer did do female impersonation didn't mean they were gay. But gee, I think it mostly did.
Have you ever been
We're going to take this show's only trip out of the country for this next act, and it seems fitting we pay respect to it, as it was a pioneering band in the history of blues music in England. I'm talking about Blues Incorporated. Their 1962 debut album was called R&B from the Marquee, and according to one article I've read, it was a watershed moment in British music history, opening the floodgates to the British blues boom and influencing countless groups like the Stones, Animals, and Yardbirds to add their own touches to American blues. One of the main vocalists for Blues Incorporated was Long John Baldry. Baldry himself was very influential all through the 60s and 70s, helping to start the careers of Rod Stewart and Elton John. An album he and Stewart produced together, called It Ain't Easy, in 1971, yielded Baldry's most known American hit with Don't Try to Lay No Boogie Woogie on the King of Rock and Roll. And Long John Baldry was openly gay, even in the 60s. By the way, before you start guessing, he got his name Long John because he was 6'7" tall. You've been listening to a bit of Five Long Years from his 1965 solo album, Long John's Blues. But I want you to hear a bit of a track from the 1962 Blues Incorporated album, and the one I've chosen is How Long Blues. John Baldry singing lead on How Long Blues from the Blues Incorporated album R&B at the Marquee from 1962. I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And you can hear this show anytime, along with seeing photos of the artist recordings at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. This show has been about early blues by gay, lesbian, and bisexual artists from the 1920s up to 1970. And I'm going to end the show with a very bluesy artist who came upon the music scene in the mid-60s with a career that burned fast and hot, going out abruptly with her drug overdose in late 1970 at age 27. I'm talking about Janis Joplin. She had much album success with the San Francisco band Big Brother and the Holding Company, and as a solo artist in 1970, she was working on her next album. She died before it was finished, but enough of it was done to enable that album, called Pearl and released the next year, to become her biggest selling album, with her biggest single, Me and Bobby McGee. From that same album, I'm closing the show with her bluesy cover version of the 1963 hit by Garnet Mims, Janis Joplin and Cry Baby.
Yeah.
And as we close, we ask you one more time to support us here on KPFT Houston. You can call us now at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We ask you to support all the local programming here that's done on KPFT, all the local community programming here on KPFT. This is a community radio station. Community meaning that it is a community that comes here and does the programs for the community of Houston. So if you believe in community radio, we ask you now all to call 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
The Pacifica Foundation is the parent organization of this station, and it's now holding elections to seat boards of directors in each of the foundation's five local signal areas. By the time you hear
the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.